Hey everybody, we just finished filming episode number 30 of Festool Shop Talk. It's with Bud Fama from Jacksonville, Texas, a furniture builder, and what a story of his journey on how he got to be where he is today. His IG handle and just about everything out there is Forest Design Co. So, give this one a listen. You'll enjoy it. All right, everybody. Welcome to number 30 of Festool Shop Talk. And we have a gentleman from Texas with us today. His name is Bud Fama. And he is known as Forest Design Co. on Instagram. I believe also on TikTok, eh, Bud?
Yeah, kind of everything, you know, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all of the above. Yeah.
Yep. And your website is Forest Design Co. because that's an amazing website.
Thanks, and, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
But yes, that is correct.
Wicked cool. On Facebook, you're Forest Design Company, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. It's sometimes YouTube's funny like that, I have found. Cool. All right. So I could tell you right now, but I met you a year ago and 2 days because somebody mentioned at the marketing meeting here at Festool that it was the anniversary of Festool Connect. And that's when I first met you.
So that was a year ago and 2 days. Okay.
Yeah.
Man, where does time go, huh?
I have no idea.
A lot's been crammed into this year.
Yeah. I was just telling Chris about looking forward to the next 5 years. And he goes, it's going to go by so quick. It's ridiculous.
Man, oh man. It's so insane for sure.
Yeah. I was like,
yeah, Indiana. That was a good time. That was my first kind of like event to go to. I mean, you know, yeah, pretty much, you know, I mean, I've been to some smaller things, but yeah, Indiana was a good time. It was definitely like that first time I'd been around some like top notch caliber woodworkers, tradesmen, things like that. Yeah. It was humbling, a little bit of imposter syndrome going on there, but it was a good time. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I have felt, well, let's go back to that imposter syndrome later on if we remember in the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Because I experienced it my first year at Festool. And it was really weird. Okay, so then I saw you in Austin in October, didn't I?
Yeah, one of the stops was in Austin. And I made the drive. It's like 3.5 hour drive for us. Not too bad. So, you know, everything in Texas, 3.5 hours in Texas, that's nothing, you know?
I actually looked it up last night. And then I saw you again. No, I saw you at the refresh. No, I saw you at the recharge. That was in May, I think. And then I saw you in October and you were part of the build off.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, the build-off was cool, man. That was another place where the philanthropic and but again, you know, like around all these guys that I've always kind of followed, and it was cool. It was cool. I did have a broken hand at the time, if you remember. So it was I was kind of like, doing what I could, but it was like surgery. I think it was maybe a Tuesday or Wednesday that we got there. I can't remember, but it was like Tuesday, surgery one day and then the philanthropy the next day. So it was all fresh, but
that's crazy. But, hey, did you break your hand? Did you break your hand?
I broke it playing basketball. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. No, that's cool.
Yeah. That's cool. Nice.
Yeah, man. There's a guy who's been working with Festool here. I've known him. Well, I've known him for 17 years. He's worked with Festool at 30, first in Germany and now here. And I saw him with a broken wrist and I asked him, how did you do that? He goes, oh, I was charging in basketball. He's ruthless basketball player. He's really good.
Man. Yeah.
For sure.
But,
Cool.
But yeah, three run-ins, I guess we've had. Lucky run-ins.
Yeah, and now today, which is cool.
That's right. Yeah,
for sure. I think I'll be in Austin. Lucky to be here. Yeah, I think I'll be in Austin again in October because that's how we do it. We usually do the May build off here. We're gonna do one in May this year, and then we're gonna do Austin again. And then
like another recharge type thing.
Nope. It's gonna be a build off. Like I'm gonna. We organized one here now. We used to do them only in Austin, and I'd go down there once or twice a year to do that. But
yeah,
we did another one after October. We did another one in Tampa, which went fantastic.
Did it?
It was all female.
That's right. Yeah, some of the guys I believe that were I heard chatter about that, and whenever we were in Austin,
it was wicked, man. It was awesome. At Florida School of Woodworking. Kate Swan is the person who owns it, and he was a huge tour de force, man. It went really, really smooth. So, awesome. Yeah, I learned a lot from the Austin stuff. Boy, that got crazy all at once, didn't it?
It did get crazy.
Wow.
Woo! It was you're talking about the philanthromic?
Yes.
The oh my yes. God. Yeah, we got ambitious with that project. It was a good one.
You were on Lucas's team, weren't you?
I was on Lucas, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw you just go all the way to the back and just you had your job to do and you just chilled back there and did it.
That's right. Yeah.
I was kind of jealous. I was like, man, I was like, when I'm at those things, the only thing I hear, even when I'm sleeping at night, is two words. Hey, Sedge, come over here. Hey, Sedge. I'm like, I was, and Lucy was down there with me and she was a huge help, but boy, it was exhausting. Oh,
it was a lot of work crammed into a few days for sure. Yeah. And that was my first build off. So that was a good experience as well. So, I mean, man, those things are a lot of work, you know, for everyone doing the work, but putting it on is, oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, you can tell it's quite the endeavor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know what? The best thing that comes out of it is the money goes to a really good cause, whatever we choose.
Yeah. Yeah, and, for sure.
At Kate's school, it went to all the money went to scholarship program at the school.
Oh, so and cool! That's
it's
great.
It's a great place. I may go down there and take a class sometime.
Yeah, man.
Too cool. Okay, this is funny. See what I? This is just funny. Okay, tell us a little. Let's start this way, so people get to know you, bud. Tell us about how you got started in woodworking and how long you've been doing it. And just give us a synopsis. Take your time, but people want to get to know you.
So, you know, I've kind of been around tools more in like the construction side of things, kind of as long as I can remember. My grandfather was a home builder, craftsman. My dad was a home builder, craftsman guy. One of my close cousins worked for my dad and he did his own thing as well. But it's just kind of always been around. Tools have always been around. My dad passed away when I was 20 years old and I was still in Jacksonville where we grew up. Mm-hmm. And then it was just kind of that moment where I was like, man, dude, I guess I'm going to be a builder. You know? So I took the business over, you know, he had a really successful business.
Wow.
And I just kind of jumped full force, like right into this business. And, so that's abruptly how I got started in like the construction side of things. And, you know, I think I stuck with it for maybe, let's see, he passed away in 2005 and then I moved away in 2008. So I gave it 3 years. Wow. And then like 3 years down the road, my wife and I were kind of like, man, you know what? Like, I'm not ready to do this yet. Like I'm not ready to like settle down, like, and have a very full-time, successful construction business, you know, like that's just not me yet. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. And so we kind of packed everything up, hit the road, and we had family in Colorado.
Oh, cool.
And so we moved to Fort Collins, Colorado.
Wicked.
And then, man, I dropped everything. I didn't, no tools, no woodworking, no construction, and just completely got out of it. I worked at my family's barbecue restaurant for a while, Sirius Texas Barbecue there in Fort Collins. And then I started working at Odell Brewing. And yeah, right. Yeah. That's how we met each other. Not at Odell's, but a little beer talk.
Yeah, that was cool as hell.
Yeah. And then wow. I loved it. You know, I loved every bit of it. It was just kind of like I almost got to start over. Nobody, you know, so in Texas, I grew up in a pretty small, relatively small town, like 12 to 15,000 people or so.
Yep.
So everybody knows you. No, everybody sure. knows what you do. Everybody, yeah, yeah, you know, they just kind of know you and your reputation and your family. And so moving to Colorado was just like, it's great, you know, kind of get to start over, kind of yep. nobody knows me for like any building, any construction. And I just kind of did my thing, you know, and it was great. But anyways, time kind of went on and I don't really know what prompted us to get back to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But we stayed there until 2013-ish, I believe, maybe 14.
Wow.
And then I came back, and again, I was like, I'm not going to go back and do any construction. I'm just not, I just don't want to do this. You know, it's just not like, yeah. I don't know if it was something that I didn't enjoy because of just how I got thrown into it or what right. the case was, but just didn't enjoy it too much. But getting back, you know, like the phone started ringing and people wanted me to do jobs. That reputation kind of like, it was still waiting there. You know, my dad's yep. legacy, his reputation, you know, was still yep. there. And I just kind of fell back into it, just kind of started doing the construction again. And somewhat reluctantly, you know, I wasn't super excited to be moving back to Texas. So I had that going on. I had not super excited to be back in the construction world. And then I took this major job on. It was my sister is a doctor. She started a clinic. So I did this major, like, not only was it construction, but it was like commercial and medical.
Wow.
So it was just more than anything I had ever experienced. So, you know, as far as
yep.
all the guidelines and all the permits and all the inspections and all the ADA stuff. And, and then my wife, you know, we get pregnant and we were expecting our first kid, and then just all this stuff, you know, like was just compounding on top of each other. And then I just kind of snapped. I broke, you know, like I started having these major panic attacks.
Wow.
Started having major anxiety, you know, something that I had never really experienced before. Like I've always been kind of go with the flow, you know, like just kind of easygoing guy. And all this stuff just kind of hit me. And I, you know, and I just kind of had to deal with it for a while.
Yeah.
And my father-in-law had this building that he leased out to, like this bread company. That's like a bread distribution company. Oh. And they were ending their contract or ending the lease, and it was just available. So I was like, you know what? Let me get in this place. I'll start building cabinets for the homes that I build.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in there and just kind of like built one coffee table, you know. So it was 2018, and that was kind of when epoxy hadn't really gotten huge yet, you know. It's so I put out like one, yeah, just starting. So I put out one coffee table, and then it, you know, like people wanted So yep. They're like, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? And I'm like, sure, you know, I'll do that. And then, you know, then the whole cutting board craze, you know, charcuterie board. I mean, I had no idea so many people wanted charcuterie boards, you know.
It's crazy.
And then that kind of started. And then, you know, I kind of got to this point to where I was like, man, maybe, you know, maybe I could do the woodworking thing. And then I just kind of got it in my head. I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to go for it.
Awesome.
And I started doing it, and it's like, and I started taking on less construction and adding, you know, getting more jobs with Forest Design Company. Yeah. And then, like, not to say I was still wasn't struggling with, you know, like anxiety and panic, but things started getting better. You know, I started like kind of seeing that spark. I started enjoying what I was doing.
There you go.
And things just kind of started turning around, you know? And then I would say in like 2022, maybe I was to that point to where I was like, ow, I was out of construction altogether. And Forest Design was the income, you know, it was the main thing. And, the woodworking, it, I know it's kind of cheesy to say, but it kind of like saved me, you know.
Yep.
It really did. It kind of put something into my lap that I had like a creative outlet. I enjoyed it. I wasn't like managing just a full on production of subcontractors that basically, right. You know, you have this whole thing to where like you're giving someone your word, you're putting your stamp of approval on things, and you're so relying on all these other people's word. Mm-hmm. It's just so hard. You know, I didn't enjoy being like a manager to so many people, you know? And, so yeah, man, whenever I was able to kind of like let that go, it just let the reins go of that construction company and 100% commit to Forest Design. It was a game changer. It saved me for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that story several times where guys in construction just start building a few things here and there and they go, wow, I really dig this. And then they get out of construction and they go full time, you know, in the furniture building, and they realize, and the number one word in there is creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And the other second benefit of it is that we used to say this in a restaurant business. It'd be a perfect business if you didn't have customers and employees.
Yeah, for sure.
So you were juggling subs and getting people to show up and my God. And just, the pushback on, and you gotta juggle the expectations of your customer.
Yeah.
And you got to realize it's not, you try to teach them, it's not your fault, but they see it because it's you. Yeah. You're the face of the company, and it's your integrity.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, it was so challenging. And, you know, some people are fantastic at it.
Yep.
I just learned that it wasn't me. I mean, you know, I could handle it well, but. You know how it is. Like, just if you don't enjoy it,
nope.
It shows, you know, like it's hard to be motivated every day. And it wears on you so much, you know, it just wears you down. But then when you find that spark, you know, of enjoyment, you know, not to say it doesn't have its challenges for sure, like you're kind of have that energy and motivation to tackle those challenges, you know, and that's kind of my experience with what I'm doing now. It's like, it's challenging, but I'm ready for it, you know?
Yeah. Do you have employees in the shop?
I started with an employee. I currently don't. I don't have employees anymore, you know? Yeah. Say that won't be the case.
Yeah.
But just how I've grown so, you know, kind of organically.
Yeah. Oh, I know that feeling.
I'm really enjoying, selfishly, I'm enjoying the luxury of having me to only do it. You know what I mean?
No.
But it comes with its challenges too. You know, like, I mean, I built a lot of big stuff, a lot of big tables. Like, okay, how am I going to move this thing? You know, like, it definitely has.
I see you in your post. I'm sorry I interrupted, but I see your post with people in there. And that's why I'm asking, does he have employees? But you probably are in an area where you can go and grab some people, say, hey, I need a quick flip. Yep, that's a
100%. You know,
that's what we did. I mean,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whenever I need some help, I can round up some, you know, whether it be buddies or just some random guys, you know. I still have a family here, you know, comes in handy.
Yeah. Well, for us, my business partner, Mikey, and I, we would walk out the bay door, walk across the parking lot and grab four or five people out of a bigger company and we'd borrow them for, you know, whatever. And vice versa. Yeah. They would say, hey, we need you to do this. And there were like five other cabinet shops in the same area as us. Mm-hmm. And it was also a good thing because we could pick their brains on how they would do a certain situation.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I have a hardware store directly across the street. So they have a lumber yard. So I've had to get them a few times to bring their forklifts over and help me unload things. So it's super handy to have those guys around. Cool.
Yeah. That nearby forklift is awesome. I'll tell you that.
I've run into that many a times. Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Yeah. Wow. That's really cool. Okay. So I was stalking you. To get ready for this. Okay. And I was blown away because when I went on your website, on your homepage, it says build good into the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a heck of a philosophy.
Man. Yeah. I agree with you. And that's why it's on the website. And I don't take it lightly either. You know, when I started, pretty much whenever I committed, like I talked about earlier, when I was like, all right, this is going to be it. You know, I decided that, you know, I want to focus on quality. I want to focus on this bringing me fulfillment and happiness.
Joy.
And I think, you know, through that, I've also learned, like, man, it's hard to accumulate all those things that are important to you if you don't give back in some way. I really believe that. And for me, that way of giving back, and, you know, and it hasn't stopped here. I plan on, you know, I have other things that I still want to work towards, but currently, it was kind of giving back to environmental causes and, 1% for the planet. You know, I became a business member with those guys kind of early on to the business. And then, you know, shortly after that, I was like, well, you know, I use a lot of lumber, a lot of trees, lots of slabs, man, let's try to offset some of that. So let's plant some trees while we're at it, you know? So I became a partner with One Tree Planted. Wow. And so now, you know, every smaller product that I sell, like in the showroom or on my website, you know, I plant two trees for the small items, and then the tables, things like that, I'll typically do 200 or 300 trees per table. And
what?
Yeah. So, you know, so in these years, you know, man, I don't know how many thousands and thousands of trees, you know, we've planted together, but
goodness.
So it, you know, and that's just kind of an important thing to me. So, you know, nature's always been kind of like that bit of peace for me, and I love it. And anything nature oriented, whether it be camping or hiking, or I grew up wakeboarding and snowboarding, and, you know, I just love being out in nature. So that's just kind of something that is important for me to give back to.
Okay, so 1% for the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain that to us?
Yeah. So
please.
Yeah. So basically it's an organization, affiliated with like Patagonia. Yvon Chouinard started this organization. He's the one that created Patagonia. And, you know, his whole philosophy was to protect, you know, these places, you know, we have to treat business a bit differently. So, sure. So basically as a business partner to them, I donate 1% of my revenue annually to their organization. So, cool. And that goes towards many different, environmental causes, you know? Yeah. So, so yeah, all the, you know, 1% of that revenue goes towards 1% to the planet, then the other whole tree organization as well.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Hey, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at your shop there, and I'm looking at your sustainer.
Some goodies back there.
Yeah. Is that an outdoor sustainer?
It is.
Oh, that's so cool. That's the orange and green one.
I got the, I got that one. Got some, you know, so I have the festival mugs, and my kids fight me over it. They won't, they're not mine anymore.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And,
how did you come about using Festool? Cause I see a ton of it back there.
Yeah. So originally I gotta say, you know, my cousin that I kind of very briefly mentioned, that worked for my dad. He, you know, he's a tradesman. He now lives in Seattle, and he does a lot of,
oh, wow.
He worked for Treehouse Workshop. That's Pete Nelson. So he was on like Treehouse Masters and things that. And
really?
Yeah. So he was the one that originally introduced me to Festool. I think it was like, might be wrong on the date, but I want to say it was like 2015, 2016 or something. You know, he was like, hey, check out it was a track saw. I don't know what year. He bought it used.
Oh, cool.
And he sent me some pictures, and he sent me this, I believe it was like the front of an island, and he did a very, you know, like had all kinds of crazy like diagonal geometry cuts in it, and it was all done with a track saw, and I was like, pretty cool, man. So then whenever I started kind of thinking about Force Design, you know, had to get a track saw. The TS-75, that was my first tool.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And, you know, once I kind of saw the quality, it was just so different. You know, that and a Rotex. I think I got a Rotex as well, right at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
So once I experienced that quality difference, you know, I just kind of ran with it. I thought it was going to be something that, you know, like I said earlier, you know, quality was something that I really wanted to showcase in the shop, you know?
Yeah.
And I just kind of wanted to associate myself with companies that stood for quality, and just kind of slowly started accumulating tools, you know? So I got the track saw, the Rotex.
Wow.
Maybe the Domino was next on the list.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time I got one of these tools, it was just kind of like, I've never used anything like that. Yeah. I've never experienced any, like, this is on a different level than I've ever been used to. So, from there, man, I just got sucked in and haven't stopped.
Right. By the way, welcome to the club. I had to get a job at Festool for my addiction.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I know. And, Let me tell you, like it doesn't.
So
I tell people so many times, like, if you get one, be careful, you know, because you're in it.
So I'll tell you what, my first, and everybody knows this, it was an ATF-55. It was a very early on one, and that's still my favorite tool, a track saw. And this past weekend, let's just say over 20 years later.
Yeah.
I have a TS 60 at home I was using. And I had in my bay window, I'm doing a window seat right now. And from one wall to the other, it's 2 inches out, 50 millimeters out. So my wife looked at it because I have it extended before I'm trimming the top of it. She's going, wow, how are you going to do that?
Yeah.
5 minutes later, I had it back in place, and she went, huh? And when I was cutting, I go, how else would I have done this?
Oh, man.
When you were talking about the island and doing cuts, I was like, Yeah, that's how I still feel to this day about that track saw. That I can't right now, and nowadays it's part of my right arm, you know, because you know,
yeah,
it's amazing.
Me too. Yeah. I mean, with, you know, especially with all like the, I do a lot of like live edge, like big, you know, I get a lot of big slabs, and
yeah,
there's just really no other way to. I mean, you know, you can take a regular circular saw and
yep,
roughly cut it, but the finished product, yeah. I mean, I've done some 18-foot long tables, you know, it's just, there's not another great way to cut a perfect edge on it, you know?
Yeah. Hey, that reminds me, on custom orders out of your website, what do you think, because, first go quantity-wise, what do you think you sell the most of?
So it's changed over the years. It's changed over the years. You know, like I said earlier, it was kind of like earlier on in the business, it was just like cutting board, charcuterie board, cutting board, charcuterie board. Hundreds of those with a coffee table and a table mixed in. But now I would say it's predominantly like dining tables.
Wow. Awesome.
Been doing a lot of conference tables lately. Tables. I would say tables are the main product that I sell.
That's so cool.
But it's kind of constantly evolving, you know. Things are just kind of keep changing, whether it's the industry changing or I'm in a very fortunate position to where I do have a showroom.
Yeah.
So you know, I can kind of like, if I ever get the time, you know, it's hard to keep that showroom stock just because I'm so busy on other orders, but I do have the opportunity to build some things that interest me or inspire me, you know, in a creative way, just to build it and put it in the showroom. You know, like it's you know, most people don't have that luxury. I'm very aware of, to be able to showcase that kind of thing, you know, and sometimes that leads, you know, when people see something, they're like, kind of sparks their creativity as well. And they're like, oh, we like this. Can you do it this way or that way or whatever the case is, you know? So
is there a showroom? Is your showroom attached to the front of your shop?
Different location. I'm like,
like
3 or 4 miles away. Super close. I mean,
is it in a downtown area with foot traffic? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's downtown location. Jacksonville, where I live, is starting to get a lot of momentum. Lots of new businesses are coming in. And so, one of my best friends growing up is a chef. And
he
moved back from California. He was in California for, maybe 16, 17 years or so. And he moved back.
Cool.
4 years ago. And so we decided to buy a building downtown and completely restore the building. And so now when you walk in, I have a showroom designated front portion of the restaurant, but the rest is bar and restaurant where all of the tables you eat on are products of mine that are for sale as well. So like kind of the whole restaurant and bar is a showroom, honestly. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah. Good time. I mean, that's the second thing that kind of has been a lifesaver for me. You know, it's just like being able to work with my buddy all the time. And
that is so cool.
It's so fun. Yeah, it's been such a good time.
Okay, so this is an important question, bud.
Yeah.
In the restaurant / bar, you get some good taps?
Oh, man. We have 6 taps, but I put a lot of thought and focus into that beer, you know.
Yeah, of course you have.
Yeah. So and also, you know, I don't even know if you know this, but we were looking for a bartender, and I was like, you know, I've worked in a brewery, I can do this. So I'm a bartender now too. So on Friday nights, I'm the bartender. Cool. I get to kind of like drop the woodworking, drop any kind of thing, and just kind of like switch gears and go bartend, you know? So it's It's wow. such a good time, man. We absolutely love that place.
I did that. I bartended for so many years down in Fort Lauderdale.
Isn't it fun?
And, it's awesome because everybody knows I'm kind of a social butterfly and I love people. and I used to have so much daggone fun bartending. Yeah. I still have friends from there. Yeah, it is. And I kind of like beer too. So it goes hand in hand, you know?
That's how we met, kind of, right?
Yeah. You walked up to me and you said, okay, so you came in the night before and you went to dinner somewhere. Yeah, go ahead and tell people.
Yeah, so it was Indiana whenever I went to the first festival event. Yeah. That's kind of like what I do. Whenever I go somewhere, the first thing I do is like search is like,
same.
Good craft beer. Yes. Where can I get it?
Same. You know? Same. I type into Apple Maps, brewery near me.
Yep. And there was one kept coming up. It was, what was it called? Moonlight?
Moontown, baby.
Moontown Brewery. Yep. So that's what I did. I went over to Moontown by myself. You know, I didn't know anybody yet. And I think everybody were, you know, they were still kind of trickling in and just kind of went and bellied up to the bar and chatting with the bartender. And I can't remember how it came up. Festival came up. I don't know if I was wearing a shirt or maybe he asked me what I was doing and I mentioned it and he was like, oh, you know, Festool Sedge. That's what he said. And I was like, oh, is he a frequent guest of yours? You know? Yeah, he's like, yeah, Tyler. He comes in all the time with his wife
it's Tyler. And he's then, such a good dude.
That's kind of what struck up the conversation because at that time I had never met you.
Yeah.
And then the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First you said that to me and I said, what beaters do you have? And I remember you had a Cecil, and that is one of the best IPAs on the planet for sure.
It was good. It was good.
I've had one or two. And then, that was wicked cool. In fact, last year for the build off, because you were here for the recharge, and then 12 people stayed afterwards. And we went to Moontown for a big dinner.
Nice. That's that right.
Was,
yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they get such that 1915 room. It's huge.
And I didn't go in there, but you told me about it. I didn't even realize they had it attached to that place.
Yeah, it's an old high school that they refurbished. It had been vacant since 1976. Yeah. And I think they've been in there 6 years now. Not that I know. Somebody said you ought to be the marketing guy for them. I go, no, I'm a Festoolian. Okay, hey, that was a really good tangent, hey?
Yeah, right. Yeah, beer always gets us a little off topic.
It's all good. That's why I love this. Okay, so I have some more business questions for you.
Yeah, so bring it on.
I went on, of course, your website, and then I went to check out the products, you know, charcuterie boards and all the other stuff you make. And I went, okay, what's the undertaking of that? What's the process of it? Say I order a charcuterie board. Do you do it all? The shipping, everything?
Yeah. So it's, you know, going back to that employee. That's why I said I'm not opposed to it because it is a lot. Sure. It is a lot to take on, you know. So basically, if somebody puts in an order on the website, it's all me. I mean, from the physical work and the social media, every bit of you know, to fulfilling the orders. Now I don't do a ton of online orders. I feel like it's
okay.
You know, orders now today, like it's kind of shifted from like online orders for me. It's weird. Before I had a huge, you know, like social media, like I wasn't hugely into it.
Yeah.
People would email me. People would look at the website. They would put in an order. But but now there's so many different modes of like communication and ways to touch base with you. And I feel like everybody just kind of like, whether it's email or Instagram or TikTok or just calling me, that's how they put in the orders for the most part. But
really,
yeah, it's a lot of, there's a lot of that, which you know, it can be difficult to keep track of all that, you know, but
Wow.
But yeah, to answer your question, it's a lot, you know, it's a lot to handle. There's many times where I found when I get overwhelmed, I just kind of spin in circles. I don't like get anything accomplished.
Yep. Join the club.
but it's nice to like know that, because whenever I find myself not being, you know, when I don't get anything done and I'm not very proactive on things, I'm like, all right, step back, calm down, take some breath, start with one thing, you know, focus on this and just notch down the list, you know? And it's been getting like that a lot recently, where I had to calm myself down and like get back on top of things, because it's a lot, you know, taxes, my goodness, you know what I mean? Yes. It doesn't stop.
Hey, I used to get there when I was first started at Festool. Somebody pulled me aside. He said, "Sedge, this is not life or death. It's power tools."
Yeah.
And I had that philosophy in my cabinet shop with my business partner. I would say, "Hey, when it's not fun, we're not doing it."
Yes.
And he understood that. And yeah, we got some, you know, decent sized arguments over pieces that we were building, but I would say, let's get out of here, shut the door and come back. And then we would regroup. It is not life or death. It's a business. You want to be successful, but you've got to think of your mental well-being.
100%.
That is so cool, man. Yeah. You take a deep breath. You go, Hey, wait a minute. Now I'm going to ask you another question. How many people walk in off the street and pick something up?
That happens, you know, quite a bit for sure. So the showroom, you know, I have to keep up with trying to keep it stocked, because people do come in off the street, you know, whether, you know, man, super fortunate, like I said, to where the restaurant brings people in, not even knowing about me. And they're like, wow, you know, like, look at all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then vice versa, I bring people into the restaurant, you know, saying, I didn't even know you had a restaurant here. You know, people are definitely, there's a lot of foot traffic in that place. And
That's cool.
A lot of people. Yeah, it's so fun, you know, and whether people like want to buy a product to walk out of the door with, or what I probably get more of is like, hey, I love this table, can you do one similar but with these dimensions, you know? So it that leads to a lot of my custom work, you know.
Wicked cool. And after a couple IPAs, it loosened up pretty good.
Hey, we had that was in the business model, huh? You know, hey, you don't want this yet, have a few beers.
That is, I didn't realize that's what the showroom was. That is absolutely a perfect
it's
concept.
Such a fun time, you know, it really is. Like that, and that's the beauty of it, you know. It's like, it is business, it's very important, you know, in that aspect, but like, we have so much fun with it, you know. So it makes it all more important that it's just a outlet for fun.
I'm just glad we got into this topic, because I think some people look at folks on the internet that are selling their product, and they don't realize the fulfillment that needs to go in, and the shipping, and it's all that one person, and it can get inundated and stress out. And I've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, I won't mention any names, but I know some people that are making a ton of product, selling it on their website. And they're through 3D printing, you know. And I say, I looked at them one time. I go, how many make a month of those? 10, 15? They go, how about 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 of them? And I'm like, what?
Yeah. It's crazy.
And they ship worldwide. It's amazing.
That boggles my mind. You know, like, you know, I'm sure because I'm a one man show, and, that's a lot of work. I mean, there's so much behind the scenes, you know, that people don't see, you know.
Yeah. I know a person that has, I think he has three. He started with three 3D printers. He's got 10 of them working 24 hours a day from the beginning of October through mid-January. It's 10 of them.
Oh my goodness. I don't even want to think about that. That makes my head hurt.
Yeah, that's something I don't like. Work. Yeah. That's too much work, you know, but you know, actually you can tell how much he enjoys it.
You know? That's good. That's good.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So you alluded, I kind of have a question here that I was going to ask you about one of your posts on Instagram, but now I know where you probably get some of your inspiration. Okay. So let's talk about that treehouse. Who's it for? Yeah. Where is it? That is so daggone cool.
We'll start. So it's in my backyard.
Oh, cool.
Who is it for? Started for kids. Sedge, I'm one of those guys. I can't go small. I can't do it. It's hard for me.
I can't. Yeah. Join the club. Yeah.
So it started just like with an idea, like, yeah, I want to build my kids a treehouse. And then, it just kind of morphed into this, it's now becoming like a guest home. You know, when you have a good phone, a friend that can answer a lot of questions for you and point you in the right direction, you kind of see what you could have. And, now it's been like such a cool thing. Of course it's going to be for the kids, but what I plan on as well is like just a good hangout spot, you know, like for friends, families, like have a little place to stay in the backyard, you know, if they want to. So it's going to be kind of like all encompassing, like playhouse, stay there if you want. Just, it's been such a fun project though.
I'm just going to call it out for everybody. You have to go to Bud's Instagram account, Forest Design Co, to check out how huge this is, but how cool it is. It's like, I want to go hang. So the thing I see, okay, and I have it here, it must smell great. You're making that out of Western red cedar, aren't you?
So that's actually like an Eastern aromatic cedar. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Oh, but my still, God, even better. Oh.
You're right. Every time you don't even have to make a cut, but you know, so I had it in like a cargo trailer. I went and picked it up. We have like a local mill. And as soon as you open the doors of that trailer, it just like hits you, you know? It's pretty nice. I love
the smell of cedar, you know?
Yeah, it is good. It's, very potent, you know, you can't mistake that. You can't mistake that smell. Yeah.
I've cut a lot of it over the years, and I just think I'm blessed because I have friends who have that cedar sensitivity, and they can't even cut a stick of it, and they get all clogged up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think
unfortunate.
Me too, man. I think people have also a sensitivity to walnut as well. I think.
Yeah, and what I've recently learned is monkey pod. Oh. I don't know if anybody else experiences that, but it is harsh. Have you ever worked with monkey pod?
No, but I was in a shop. Someone was working it, and I just love the tree itself.
It is beautiful. But I notice, I mean, if you breathe it in without any kind of respirator or anything, it like punches you in the, I mean, I had the hardest time. If you caught a whiff, it would just hit me so hard and make me choke and cough where I couldn't control it. I mean, it was tough. It was tough.
Yeah. That grows up in the, here in the States, that goes up in the Northwest, I think. Cause I saw a lot of it growing in, Vancouver when I was up there.
Monkey bud?
Yeah.
I might be wrong about it. I thought it was more of a tropical.
Yeah. Well, think about it, coast. That's kind of tropical up there. I felt like I was in a rainforest up in Vancouver. It's gorgeous. Yeah. And the other name for it, it grows on the coast. The other name for it, I think my buddy Reiner called it Madeira or Maduria or something like that. Someone will correct us on in the comments, yeah, but I think it's,
I'm sure.
It's beautiful.
It is really pretty, yeah.
The tree is cool as heck.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I was like,
go ahead. Sorry.
Go.
Walnut. Yeah. Walnuts can hit you pretty tough too, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I call it the walnut blues.
Yeah, I guess I'm lucky that I haven't had any sensitivity to wood over the years. Yeah. It's weird. Cool.
Yeah.
Heck cool. Yeah. So you mentioned something. I'll ask you this. You mentioned something about social media. You get a lot of stuff coming in through social media, don't you?
Yeah. You know, exposure, whether that leads to orders or opportunities. Yeah, for sure. I mean, social media has been, it's been a game changer for, you know, for the business.
I think I met you through social media. That's exactly what I think. I think is great.
Yeah. It's hard to, you know, I've never done it without social media, so I couldn't tell you how it would be without it, but
yeah,
I can tell you that it has brought me a lot of positive things, you know?
Yeah. Same.
You know, as long as you know how to navigate it, I think it's easy to kind of take over in a sense, but it is quite the amazing tool for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. The first time I got turned on to Instagram, somebody asked me, do you know what a podcast is? I go, no. He goes, you're going to be on one tonight. And they, all three of the guys, actually the four guys in the room, but three of them just looked at me and go, you don't even know what a podcast is, do you? I go, no.
How long ago are you talking?
I think 6 years ago. And okay. I was on the set of This Old House, and the guys grabbed me. And we were, when I say the set, we were doing some videos inside Jeff Sweeney's shop. And I went out to dinner at that time with the guy who owned This Old House Ventures. And then I came back and they had just finished. It was The Modern Craftsman. And okay, I had never listened to a podcast. I had never heard one. And we had so much daggone fun. And it was Nick That's and Tyler awesome. Grace, who I knew. And you know what? Never in my wildest dreams did I think that they would become my friends, and I consider them friends. And that's so cool. We've done this festival Shop Talk and Nick Shop. And those guys are just some of the most giving gentlemen and contractors out there. But I asked them at one time to get back to full circle. I go, boy, I wish I had that tool of Instagram when we used to travel with our portfolio. We'd get a call on our phone. We would go in somebody's house, show them our portfolio of pitches. I'm an old dude. Yeah. You know,
Now
I could just say, look at my Instagram account.
Check it out. Yeah.
Check out my Facebook page. If I had the cabinet shop.
Yeah.
And that is your online folio. We had a website early on, but nobody would go to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just, I just look at social media now, and that can be huge for a contractor.
It is huge. It is huge. I mean, at least for me, it's been. Yeah, like I said, I haven't done it without it, so I don't know what it would be like without, you know, having it. But yeah, I'm sitting here talking with you, you know. So I mean, I can't say that would have happened without social media.
Yeah,
it would be hard to think that would be a you know, an option, you know. And even getting going to Indiana or going to Austin, you know, there's just so much connection. There's so many. You know, you start learning how, you know, everything is, I guess, like the community is large, but you do start noticing most people kind of know of everybody. And there is like this intertwined community, intertwined connection. And it's just, it's such a cool tool to be able to be so accessible to everyone. Yeah.
And, it has brought me, many friends. That are really inspiring to me because I see their passion for woodworking.
Sure. Yeah.
And I go, okay, this is good. You know, for sure. this is a great thing just to bring people together, you know, that have that passion.
Yeah. As long as you can like understand that and don't let the negative get to you, which is a very hard thing to do at first, you know, because there is a lot of, everybody has an opinion, you know, holy moly.
There's a lot of, what do we call them, trolls. There's a lot of haters. You can't please everybody is how I grew up. So you just have to have a thick, I tell people, you gotta have a thick skin. And if you, and it's tough sometimes because it really is a tough situation to put yourself into. I just got a kick out of it.
I'm getting to that point.
I actually chuckle because I was taught early on about social media. The people who leave those negative comments, they're on YouTube or Instagram. They don't have followers. Yeah. It's usually two people. They just like to be negative. And then when you understand 100%. That, you go, oh, they're going to be negative to anybody. Don't take it personally. But I'll tell you what, and you know this, bud, it's tough not to.
Yeah, it was a hard pill to swallow for me whenever, you know, something, I can't remember, a post was shared on a really big platform and then I started reading the comments. So I was like, whoa, you know, I gotta stop doing this. But you know, whenever you first are you first experience it, it's like it almost feels like people are, you know, like trashing on your art, your experience, what you're passionate about, you know. And that's hard to navigate at the beginning, but then, like you said, you start realizing it's like, these guys are just going to do it. You almost kind of have to, you almost have to like consider it like, wow, look at, I'm interacting and my content is stretching out so far that I am impacting these people in some way. That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Like,
Why do you think when I went on your website and I saw build good into the world, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, for
sure. You're supposed to leave a positive impact on somebody.
That's the goal.
And that's how I've lived my whole life. And if people don't understand that, guess what? That's them. You know, that's why they make beer.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Cool. All right. I'm going to have one, maybe two more questions.
Yeah.
I always ask this question because, who has been the biggest influence in your life now, previously, to inspire you in your trade?
So I would have to say, you know, like my dad was always a huge inspiration, you know, for sure. And he still is, you know, but you know, it's kind of one of those.
I knew the answer from the beginning, but I want people to hear it
for
now.
Sure. I mean, it's all, you know, my dad and my cousin, like I mentioned, you know, in Seattle, you know, his like creativity and ingenuity is still inspiring, you know, today. I mean, he's always kind of like, you know, like he, after my dad passed away, he was like that guy that I would always call on, you know, for whether it be a question or how do I do this? And still today it's like, hey man, I got this going on. You know, he's always kind of that guy that, I think about whether it's something that I'm proud of, I'm like, oh yeah, man, he's going to like this. You know, like he's always kind of that one that I'm almost like getting approval from, in a sense, you know, I'm not really getting his approval, but like, that's kind of what it, you know, almost what it feels like, you know? And, so those are the two main influences I would say, you know, but now today, you know, I've met so many people there's so much influence out there. But originally, I mean, you know, two influences, I would have to say my dad and my cousin for sure.
Sure. My parents, for me, they always pushed my creativity, whatever I wanted to do. Yeah. They say, oh, why don't you try this? But it was my parents, for sure.
Yeah.
But I've had so many people who have been inspirational in my life. I always fall back on my parents because I don't want to upset people. Like, hey, I thought I was your inspiration.
Right. Yeah. But yeah.
I'll tell you somebody who was for me, because I just used to love to watch his television program, was Norm Abram.
Okay. Yeah.
And then when I came to work for Festool and I got to hang out with him and do videos with him.
That's crazy, huh?
I realized why he was so popular on This Old House and New Yankee Workshop, because he is so daggone genuine and he has that caring for people.
That goes a long ways, man.
There's no, hey, I'm Norm Abram. No, it's always like, hey, yeah. He's so daggone genuine. You want to hang out with him the whole time. That's why people loved when he was on those programs.
For sure.
You know, they're real folks doing what they have passion for building.
Yeah, that goes a long ways. It really does.
It really does. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got a question about business again.
Okay.
What are your biggest struggles?
You know, I'd probably say kind of what we touched on earlier, just doing it all, you know, like personally, I have learned my strengths and my weaknesses, and my weaknesses are probably just like so many other woodworker construction guys. It's just keeping up with the business. It's the taxes. It's the staying on top of quotes, you know, getting quotes back to people. Yeah.
Paperwork,
you know, I want to be working with my hands so much that it's hard to pause and like, no. Like, you know, it always felt like, I think being in the construction world, it always felt like to me, whenever I wasn't doing something physically demanding, it didn't feel like I was working, you know, if that makes any sense.
It makes tons of sense.
It was always hard to like, okay, you're doing this paperwork, you're staying on top of your business. That's work. That's like, even though it doesn't feel like it, you have to do this, you know? Yeah. So I would say that's been my biggest struggle with this whole thing. It's just forcing myself, you know, to just consider these quotes and all the business side just as important as the products themselves, you know.
Cool. Been
a big challenge. Yeah.
Okay, I got a okay. Next question. This is how I wrap it up. Is there a question I should have asked you?
I don't think so. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I think you nailed it, man.
Yeah. I think you nailed it. You have shared so much for everybody. I can't thank you enough for your time. I think I could talk to you, bud, and we will over beers eventually for hours.
I feel the same way, man. I feel the same way.
Hey, if you need an employee, I might move to Jacksonville, Texas.
Come on. Yeah. Can you,
I can bartend on Saturday nights.
Hey, bring it on. Man, that'd be so much fun. You want to be a guest bartender one day?
That would be so much daggone. I did it for so long in Fort Lauderdale before I owned my own restaurants. Oh yeah,
for sure.
It's funny. You know when you talk to somebody, you meet somebody, and then you start talking with them, you see how, especially woodworkers, how we have similar paths, you know, and it's just, you find that common thread in there. It's wicked cool. That's why I love people.
Yeah, it really is.
I love people. Yeah.
I do too, man. Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell. You're building good into the world, bud.
Working on it. Working on it. You didn't ask me my favorite tool, though.
Oh, what's your favorite tool?
I don't have one. Does that count?
Really?
I bring that up. I would have to say maybe the track saw. I think that has to be it. Yep. Yeah. I think that's...
Yeah. Everybody here at Festool thinks my favorite tool, because I'm always on it, is the Domino, but my favorite is still the Traxxaw.
Domino's pretty good, though.
It is pretty awesome. Oh, it's awesome. But no, that there's something about the Traxxaw and saving time. And like, it happened again this past weekend, bud. It's, how would I have done that when I did it in 5 minutes?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. It was like magic. It would have taken me maybe an hour for setup and doing it another way, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And by the way, that was my first tool. So I guess I'm akin to it. Yeah, for sure.
2017, TS75, still going strong, same one.
Yeah, yeah, baby. It's amazing.
Yep, yep.
And they just last and last and last and last.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Chris, you got anything? All right. I guess we sounded good, so he's giving me the thumbs up. All right.
Awesome.
He's kind of like my young Jamie on Joe Rogan. I always ask him, hey, Chris, I've asked him several times on things you've said, and we've checked it. You're good.
Yeah, nice, nice.
Awesome. All right. I can't thank you enough for your time, bud. We really appreciate it.
Oh, my goodness. Sedge, thank you guys for everything. I can't. I feel the same way, man. I feel the same way. You guys have been awesome.
Yeah, and we're going to drink some beers together soon. I just know it.
I'm ready. You just let me know.
All right, brother. All right. Okay, thanks, everybody. Man. That's a wrap. Thank you. Yep.